Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Over the last few days, I've done about nearly 1,000 miles in the last few days, and been to Stoke on Wednesday, up at UCB, involved in a Leaders Day there. Was in Liverpool. Roger. And went and prophesied over Anfield and Championship Club. Yeah, they're going down. So, anyway, spent some time there doing a leaders, a kind of city leaders thing there. And on Friday, went up to Bradford and was with Abundant Life up there. And did some stuff in their college, but then spent the afternoon with all their leaders, just chatting and building relationship with them. And one or two of their guys are coming down next month here for a day, just to kind of build relationship and everything. So, and we're in Bristol yesterday. Jane, myself, and Toby went down there, and partly to see Joe and Dan Smith, but also NGM, New Generation Ministries, as it's called. We're celebrating 30 years of ministry and what God's been doing. And it's awesome. You know, when you look back over the history of something, how many thousands of people have been saved or healed or impacted, you know, by just one ministry, let alone many kind of churches and ministries. So it's been great traveling around. But, you know, it's great what God is doing. And I know I said last week at the beginning, you know, there's a lot that God is doing. But, you know, when you travel around and you meet different leaders, you get a flavour of what's happening in a city or a town. It's exciting what God is doing. And there really are some new things taking place around the nation. And although in terms of God's purposes, they might only still be, small scale. But there's just new shoots beginning to pop out of the ground here and there in terms of what God is doing. And God's building relationships between a lot of leaders. And, I've got quite a few invites to speak at leaders things, even next year. Some other things, people, you know, can you come and do this? Can you come and be involved in that? You know, and so, you know, God is building relationships, because it's not just any one church or network of churches that's going to see God do everything in the nation. God somehow, in his wisdom, is going to bring together in his way the body of Christ across the nation to really see something in our day that we have not seen so far. And so that's what we're going for. That's what we're living for. And it's exciting what God is doing. So, and it's amazing how many people have been through the same thing as we have, in terms of a transition, or what you call crossing over, where from we've been, you know, in one season or one generation of time, and God is now moving everybody into a new season or new generation of time. And people have been grappling with that in different ways. And people coming out the other side, people seeing a much greater release of the presence of God, and the never really been able to reach, or people that have never really seemed to be interested or seem to be a long way off from the kingdom of God or from responding to Jesus. And we've just been seeing those kinds of people really coming right through, being completely set free from their lifestyle that they were living, from addictions, from all kinds of pain and abuse they've been through. And it's like we're in a new day. We are in a new day. You know, now it's just the first shoot, and there's loads more to go to see, to take place. But, you know, we've got to stop talking like it's all to come. We got to stop talking in any way, if there is anything, where it's all about tomorrow. And one day, you know, today is the day of salvation. And God is moving and things are happening, but we all know and we're all hungry for so much more. Is that right? So we're going to just follow on a bit from last week for a few minutes. And if you want to turn to Judges chapter 6. Last week we were talking about the power of choice, and that the power of choice sets you in a situation, positions you for God to do something in you and through you. And we're going to just follow on from that this week. And because, you know, if the overall theme is advancing, taking possession, of the things that God has said, seeing the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives personally and together as a people, then making right choices is absolutely essential in what God is doing. So we want to make right choices so that we set ourselves in the right position, the right place for God to do something in us and through us. But in those positions, in that that where we set ourselves to be where God wants us to be, there's another thing that really determines the outcome of that decision. And the outcome of a decision that you make, the power of choice that sets yourself, puts yourself in a place with God and in practical situations that God's going to work in you and through you, there's another power that goes with that, and that's the power of response. So the power of choice and the power of response work together to position each one of us and to corporately as a church and get us ready. And if we respond in the right way, when we're positioned in the right place, then the outcome is going to be powerful. The outcome is going to be fruitful. The outcome is going to be successful. The outcome is going to be good. Just check the person's pulse next to you and see if they're alive this morning. Are you alive today? Brilliant. Now we're going to have a look at a few things in here. And I love this story. God's been speaking to me a lot over the last couple of months through this story, this scenario with Gideon. But let's have a look at a few verses. The Israelites are being overrun by the Midianites. All their food, all their crops, all of their animals, livestock of these Midianites. But in amongst, and when the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." So what's the first thing that God does? He reminds them of what he's already done. So they're crying out in fear. They're crying out from a place of desperation. But God reminds them straight away. Now, just remember, before you carry on, I've already brought you up out of Egypt. I've already brought you out of the land of slavery. So you're no longer victims. You're no longer slaves. You're no longer captive in a place that you were captive. So even though you're crying out to me, "God, the Midianites are attacking us," let's just kind of rewind a minute and just show you where you've come from. You've come out of slavery into a place of freedom, into a place of victory. I'm walking with you. You don't need to be afraid. You've got nothing to be scared of. So God's just beginning to remind them of who he is with them. Then he says, "I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land." So if I've done it once, I'm going to do it again. "I said to you, I'm the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." So he said to them, whatever land I take you into, don't worship their gods. Continue to worship who I am. Worship's important in terms of not just in a meeting, but how we set ourselves in life, because worship determines taking ground. The presence of God determines the possession of something. It makes a mark in the ground. We'll come to that in a minute. But he's like, if you begin to worship other gods, then you're going to lose ground. You're going to slip back. You're then going to become overcome by your enemy or by somebody else. And so he's reminding them, "I'm the God of victory. I'm the God who advances. I am with you. I will always overcome. If you walk with me, you will see my goodness rolled out in front of you, and then you'll be able to walk in my goodness." Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, I love this bit. I reckon at this moment, God did not look at Gideon as somebody who was full of fear. You know, often when we hear this story, we say Gideon was full of fear. He was hiding away in the winepress. I reckon Gideon at this moment had a little bit of guts, a little bit of initiative. It was a little bit of innovation in there. He had a bit of an attitude of determination that was saying, "I'm going to go and find somewhere and get some food together for some of my mates, some of my people, in a place where the Midianites are not going to be able to come and raid it." If he did it out in the fields in the middle of the day, what were they going to do? Come and get him. But there's a bit of initiative in Gideon here. And he says, right, I'm going to go and find a place where I can thresh some wheat to make some food because I'm going to feed these guys. I am not going to let these guys get what is mine. So there's this thing going on in Gideon, I believe. That's what's going on. He's not full of fear and, oh, you know. And God looks and says, hey, I can work with that. I can work with that. There's somebody in the middle of all this fear and all this crying out, there's somebody there who's got a little bit of guts. There's something going on the inside of them that says, right, I'm going to get some food together and these Midianites, they are not going to have what belongs to me. And God walks into this guy's life and God talks to him at another level. God comes in and says, hey, mighty warrior. Now, what's Gideon's response? What does he say? He says, but sir. Now, at that moment, Gideon didn't realize it was God. There was obviously something about this angel that didn't floor Gideon. It didn't deck him to the ground. He wasn't suddenly like, oh my word, this is an angel. It was like a man walked in and said, mighty warrior. He turns round and not knowing it's God, he doesn't know God at this point. He says, but sir, he says, I've heard all the stories. We've heard about all the great things that supposedly God has done, but where are they? I've not seen the evidence. And God graciously begins to work with this guy. How many of you, a lot of the time, don't feel really powerful, really victorious? You don't feel like you're the man, you're the woman or whatever. How many of you don't necessarily see yourself a lot of the time the way God sees you? See, God walks in and he's saying, right, I'm going to work with this guy and I'm going to move him from a place where he doesn't understand or recognize my voice, or I'm going to move him to a place where the fear of God is stronger in his life than the fear of man. I'm going to do something in him, work with him. And it was very quick, the work that God did, because it seemed to be in a day that he did this. But I'm going to work with this guy, get him to the place where he is ready to do whatever I say to him. And so in one sense, Gideon was positioning himself to produce something in the natural. But God saw, right, I'm going to get hold of him, work within him, so that his response moves from a but, what about this? But what about that? But I can't do this. But who am I? But I'm the least of my tribe. But I haven't got a clue who you are. And God's thinking, I'm going to move him from a but response or a but reaction, and I'm going to move him to a place where he's going to quickly respond to my voice, so that when I say do this, he responds and then moves to the front line and then does what I ask him to do, command him to do. So there's a bit of a process that goes on here. So God says, mighty warrior. He says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are the wonders that our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. Now God ignores him. How many of you know that God ignores excuses? How many of you know that God ignores our, well, hang on a minute, God. You know, when God's got a plan and he's got something he wants to say, he's going to keep saying it until we listen to what he's saying, rather than him listening to what we're saying in those kind of moments. So what does God do? He doesn't say, oh yeah, you're right, mate. Yeah, I am the God that brought you out, but no, I have abandoned you. No, you're dead right. I've abandoned you. Sorry, Gideon. Wrong man, wrong address. I'll go and find somebody else. God ignores him in verse 14, and it says, and what does the Lord say? Even though Gideon's like, I'm not really sure who you are. You obviously represent the Lord in some way, you know, but I'm not really sure who you are. I've not seen all the things of God, but God ignores that and says, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? So at the moment, Gideon is positioned for God to do something, but he's not got a response. He's got a reaction at the moment. See, reaction is negative. Response is positive. See, at the moment, God's stepping into his life saying, hey, this is who I am, and I want to do something. And he's coming up with a reaction, but I'm not old enough. But as it follows on, Gideon replies, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest and I am the least in my family. So he's coming up with all the excuses, but God's still got a plan. What I think is so amazing about God is how gracious he is with us. That he walks with us And he walks us through the reasoning that we have sometimes. He walks us through the excuses sometimes. He walks us through our inability to see who he is in us at any given moment. And he's so gracious that he keeps speaking until we get the message, until we suddenly realize, oh yeah, I've just got to get over myself. I've just got to concentrate on who he is. Because if I do that and realize who he is, then it doesn't matter what the weaknesses are. It doesn't matter what the excuses might be. It doesn't matter what the problems might be, what the opposition might be. If I realize who he is and what he's saying to me, then I can scale a wall. I can defeat a troop. I can overcome whatever in God. Because God will always speak something that takes me beyond the moment of where I am. God will always speak something that will challenge the immediate fear that might be in front of me. God will always speak to me to challenge the circumstances that are around me, because God's purpose is not for me to live in the middle of that, but to live beyond it. So he says to this guy, Gideon, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together. See, God's got a plan and he's going to work it, whether Gideon at the beginning was with him on the same page or not. God was going to get Gideon on the same page. Then what does it say? If now I have found favor, this is Gideon, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering to set it before you. Now what's happening? Gideon's beginning to realize this is God. His first response was, but sir. His second response was, but Lord. His third response was, I need to go and get an offering ready. I need to worship. See, what's God doing in this process? He's beginning to reveal himself and he's working with Gideon to change his attitude from a reaction to a response so that he was ready for what God wanted to do in and through his life. I think that's amazing. I think God's awesome. See, God is helping him to recognize, hey, you're giving me some excuses. You're telling me what I can't do, but I'm going to keep showing you who I am. And so God is revealing himself more and more in this moment. Gideon realizes, actually, I need to worship now. So he goes off and gets all the various things that he needs to worship, prepares it, puts it together, places it on the rock, and then the angel puts the staff on the rock, burns it up, and then suddenly Gideon realized, that was God. I've just had a face-to-face with God. Now, for them, that represented death. If you had a face-to-face with God, then I'm going to die. And that's what his cry was. He said in verse 22, he says, "Our sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face-to-face." What's God's response? Don't worry, you're not going to die. See, what God was about to do with Gideon, in the natural, Gideon could face death, or Gideon could face persecution, or Gideon could face a lot of opposition. And God wanted to meet with Gideon face to face. He wanted to reveal who he was so that the fear of God was on Gideon's life. So the fear of God became stronger than the fear of man or the fear of what it might mean. And so God knew he couldn't just walk into the wine press and say to Gideon, "Hey, how you doing, sunshine?" Because he knew Gideon's response wouldn't have been, "Oh God, you're awesome. You're a mighty. What do you want me to do for you? What is it that you've got?" And God says, right, go and first of all, before we really affect the whole nation, we've got to do something first with the way people are worshiping. So go and pull down these altars and Asherah poles and Baal gods and everything. Gideon would have been like, no, there's no chance. Absolutely no chance. So God knows how he needs to work with Gideon to move in his life, to prepare him, to change his attitude and reaction to one of response and readiness. But what did God do? He began to reveal more of who he was, began to uncover, reveal who he was, so that Gideon realized, you are God. The fear of God began to hit him. What's the difference between the fear of man and the fear of God? The fear of man causes death. It cripples you, stops you, inactivity. It stops you from moving. You're afraid. You don't want to do something in case somebody doesn't like it or you upset somebody. The fear of man causes you to step back and pull back. But what does the fear of God do? The fear of God does something where, one, you're in awe of God. There's a reverence for who he is. But the fear of God releases a desire to please God. The fear of God doesn't shy you away from God, saying, I'm afraid of him. What's he going to do? The fear of God draws you and says, I want to please you, God. I want to honor you. I want to serve you. And that's what began to happen. You know, he moved Gideon in a few moments from being afraid, and there's no way I'm going to do anything, to somebody who said, God, I want to please you. I want to do what you want. Because God began to reveal something of himself into this guy's life. But how many of you know that God's got to do something in the one person before he does something in many people? And so God is doing something in Gideon, knows that if I can just reveal myself to him and he can meet with me and realize who I am, then it's not just his own life that's going to be affected. Many, many other lives are going to be affected as a result. And so what does he do? There's the fear of God that comes upon him. And then God begins to up the tempo, the ante a bit. And so he says, right, Gideon, I've got a job for you. And Gideon's met with the Lord. He hasn't died face to face with God. It's like, wow, I'm still alive, you know. And so God's like, now he's ready. The same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, one of 7 years. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So here's Gideon. He encounters God. He meets with God. Has a face-to-face with God. The fear of the Lord hits him. He builds an altar there in verse 21 and calls it, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. But he calls it, the Lord is peace. Why is that then? See, what is God's peace? God's peace isn't just a nice settling feeling. Oh, the peace of God. The peace of God is a lot more powerful than that. The peace of God is actually God's reconciliation with mankind. The peace of God is God's salvation purposes with people, with a people, a person, and a people. See, God was about to change the direction of the nation. God's heart for the nation was to do something, but he needed to get hold of someone. And he called it the Lord is peace because it's like God was about to reconcile the nation back to him. He was about to fulfill more of his salvation purposes to reconnect his people with him. But he needed somebody who was connecting with him in order to then work through someone to do something. So Gideon realized this or had some kind of understanding of this. Then God said, go and pull down all the things that represent these false gods. Now, I don't know about you, but if you were the only one in your tribe or whatever, you were the only one in Horsham that had an encounter with God, and everybody else in Horsham worshipped false gods and idols, you were the only one. And then God said, you know, say down in the middle of town, there was some massive altar that everybody worshipped every day and all kinds of stuff went on there. You were the only one. And God said, right, go down there and tear all of it down. Rip the whole lot down so that nobody can worship any of these false gods and idols. Imagine all the money that was made around all these worshiping things and everything and all the lifestyle that people had given themselves to. But yet God says to this young fella, go and pull down all that stuff. Now, I don't know how many of us would be like, yippee, you know, we've got such an awesome, you know, thing from God here to go and wreck everybody's life and jump right in the middle and cause a lot of hassle and strife. And it says here that he was afraid, but he still did it. He still went at night. Now, we can read that story saying, well, he didn't have a lot of bottle, did he? Should have gone in the daytime, should have been that mighty warrior, should have been that man. You know, I'd have done it in the daytime, wouldn't I? You know, why? Because we know the end of the story. But in the middle of the moment, in the middle of the moment when everything seems to be crowding around, you've set yourself to see God work through your life. You've positioned yourself. You've been determined, I want to be where God is. I want to be right in the heart of that. Then opposition, circumstances, other stuff comes around and tells you all the reasons why it can't happen. But yet God's still going to say the same thing. He's still saying, I haven't changed my mind because of the circumstances. This has gone off. I'm not going to change. Is that all right? I'm not going to change my mind. I've got something in mind and I'm going to stick to it. And so he goes at night. I still applaud the guy and say, you did a brilliant job, mate, you know, because he still had the guts. Now, what's interesting is even though he was afraid, he still did it. The fear of God was still stronger than the fear of the moment. It's interesting how when God told him to go and do it, what was his response? That there's no record here that he turned around and said anything to God. There were no buts and no ifs anymore. Something had happened in him to the point where God could now say, right, here we go. I'll drop this one on him and see what he's going to do. His response was, even though there was fear knocking at the door of his life, he still went and did it. I think sometimes, you know, we can, it's easy to think that in the Christian life or in our walk with God that, you know, there's some spiritual nirvana we're going to get to one day where there'll just be no fear of anything or no challenge of circumstances. We're just hovering off the ground, you know, with God. And he can ask me to do anything. It'll just be, you know, one day when we're living in this kind of, you know, God's changing the whole nation. Isn't it going to be awesome? And we're all going to, you know, it's just going to be this kind of, you know, great vibe and great, you know. But yet God walked into this guy's life, revealed who he was, but there was still fear knocking at his door saying, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. Even though he's afraid because he knew he could die, he still went with it. God knows how we tick. God knows how we, the natural things that challenge us. And so God's purpose in revealing who he is, God's purpose in speaking into our lives all the time is to enable us to live like this and not like this. Is to live above stuff that pulls us down. Is to live beyond the stuff that we used to live by or be gripped by. God doesn't say that, you know, I mean, Jesus was very clear, wasn't he? That we're going to have troubles constantly. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to have opposition. It's just the way it is. The enemy hates every one person in this room, whether you know Jesus or not. He hates your guts. And will do absolutely anything to stop you from walking with God, finding God, being obedient to God, walking in the purposes of God, whatever that might be. Because the devil hates every person on the planet, particularly those that know Jesus. So he's going to constantly try and come with fear, constantly try and give you all the reasons why it can't happen, constantly say you're not set in the right position for God to use you. And even if you are, you need to have a reaction because it's impossible. You're too small, you're too quiet, you haven't got the character, the personality, the persona. Yet God said, no, let's just listen to me. You've set yourself. You've put yourself in a position. You've made choices like we talked about Daniel last week. The choices were made in Jerusalem before he was taken into slavery, so that when the pressure was on, he'd already set himself in his heart and his life, this is how I'm going to live, no matter what comes my way, so that when the pressure came, what rose up was who God is in his life. And the favor of God was on him, turned man's hearts to him. We know the story. He ended up running the nation, and the nation began to worship God. Same thing happened here. He went at night, pulled down all the things that represent the false gods. The rest of the town came looking for him the next day. And they said to his dad, bring your son out. You know, he deserves to die for what he's done. His dad defends him and says, look, you know, basically leave him alone. If Baal really is who we say he is, then he can defend himself. He can. I don't need to defend him. Nobody else does. Baal should be able to defend himself. Took a bit of guts, I believe, for Gideon to do what he did. Had a bit of nerve to do what he did. In the natural, I could face death. I've had it. All sorts of things are going to happen. But yet, when he did what God said, he didn't know that was going to be the outcome. Because his dad was with everybody else and worshipping all these false gods and idols. He didn't know that his dad was the one that's going to turn around and actually say, oi, leave him alone. Let Baal defend himself. But then what happens after that? Something's been broken over the nation because one person, something got broken over their life. God revealed who he was to this guy. And even though there was still fear there, the fear of God was stronger than the fear of consequences or the fear of man or the fear of a negative outcome. So he'd moved from a reactive person to a responsive person. And then God said, right, now let's really deal with the rest of the enemies now. Let's get out there and see some things happen. And so he said, get all your men together. They had 32,000 blokes. And they were ready to go in. And God said, no, you've got too many. And God whittled it down, if you know the story, to 300 guys to take on the enemy. But look what it says. Even though they whittled down to 300, they're completely outnumbered. God said to Gideon, verse 9 of chapter 7, during the night, God said to him, get up and go down against the camp because I'm going to give it into your hands. But look at verse 10, very interesting. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura and listen to what they are saying. You see, God knows that Gideon is still going to have some fear lingering about there. God knows that he's asking Gideon to do some stuff that in the natural is pretty difficult to do. God knows that we deal with the realities of life and other people's opinions, philosophies and their attitudes towards us and circumstances and all of that. And God is so good, you know. He kind of didn't treat Gideon like, you know, he said, look, if you're afraid, just go and have a listen to what's going on. Just go and have a listen to what I'm already doing. Look, just go and check it out. Because when you hear the confusion, the turmoil that's already there, you know. So he goes down with some of his guys and they hear some guys having a little chat in verse 13. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can mean nothing but the sword of Gideon, son of Joash. How they relate a roll of bread to a sword of Gideon, I don't quite know. But obviously a bit of revelation going on there at the time. God has given the Midianites into the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and his interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of the Israelites and called out, come on, guys, this is it, let's go. And they went down with their torches and their jars and their trumpets. What the dickens is that going to do in the situation? But that's what God said. See, what was God doing through Gideon? He was reestablishing the presence of God in the nation. He was reestablishing the presence of God in the nation. That's what he was doing. Firstly, he reestablished the presence of God in his life and then in the nation. See, God was already going before him and working amongst the Midianites so that when they came, even though there was still some fear there, God knew that Gideon was still going to go through with it. I think that's awesome. God didn't say to Gideon, look, sunshine, you still got a bit of fear there. You need to get a grip. He said, Gideon, I know I'm asking, you know, this is going to be, it looks pretty awesome in the natural, but just go and have a listen. That'll deal with your fear. What? Why? He worshiped God. You're with us. You're moving. God knows how to encourage us. God knows how to encourage us in the middle of what he's asking us and how he's leading us. And what does Gideon do? Gets all his guys, they run down, they get into place, and he's got his trumpet and their empty jars. Another ridiculous plan like Jericho. But God loves ridiculous plans, doesn't he? Verse 17, watch me, follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours, shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And then Gideon took his 100. There were two other groups of 100. They all blew their trumpets, smashed their jars, and God got a victory. I mean, how can you blow a trumpet, smash a few jam jars, and then thousands of blokes turn upon themselves and kill each other? But that's God, isn't it? God works in miraculous, mysterious ways. What we do sometimes is we try and work it all out. Okay, I've got four options. Option one, if I do that, then that'll probably happen. Option two, if I do that, then this will probably happen. Option three, if I do that, then that'll probably happen. Option four, if I do that, I haven't got a clue what's going to happen. But then God says, yeah, but there's my option. Just do what I'm doing and let me take care of what it looks like afterwards. That's the step of faith. That's the response that will determine the position you've set yourself in, whether that'll have a good outcome or not. You see, the response that Gideon made, the outcomes of those were going to affect the whole nation in what God was doing with him at this moment. Not just a few other people, but it starts with just a few being affected by first us setting ourselves for God to do something in us and through us. But then secondly, our response in the middle of the situation with the pressure, the circumstances, our response then determines the outcome of what is going to happen and what God then does. And they were just obedient. Now, it's interesting how Gideon trumpeted a certain sound. What's God been kind of saying to us over the last 2 or 3 weeks a little bit is about the sound of what's going on amongst us. See, there's a sound. He blows a trumpet that sounded, it heralded something about the presence of God, about God being present to do something. It was a sound that drew all the people together. Right, this is it, come on. There was a trumpet sound that got everybody's attention, and then something happened. See, there's a trumpet sound. What did we say this new sound was like? Last week, this sound of being in the promised land or where God has taken us, there's a sound of freedom. It's a sound of joy. It's a sound of hope. It's a sound of freedom for those that are bound up. It's a sound of joy for those that are in despair. It's a sound of hope for those who have got no hope whatsoever. They're living under pain and shame and guilt. We're coming into people's lives with a sound of freedom, joy and hope. It's the sound of God's kingdom on earth. Jesus came with the sound of the kingdom, with the message of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's the hope. Wow, there's something at hand. There's something about to happen. He said, repent and believe. He came with freedom. If you repent and believe, you come into this, you're going to have the greatest joy you could ever have. There's something that's about to take place. That's what he was saying. Freedom, joy and hope. And the enemies turned against themselves. They had a great victory. And ultimately, the nation began to turn back, or the Israelites began to turn back to God. But it just was one man. Set himself, right, I'm gonna make some food for the people, my friends, my neighbours, the people that I'm with. Last week, Daniel set himself, well, it wasn't last week, it was a few thousand years ago, but last week when we were talking, Daniel set himself in his heart and in his life, when the pressure came, his response was, I'm going to stay devoted. I'm going to keep myself set apart. What was the outcome? He ended up being prime minister. The whole nation then began to worship God. Gideon set himself to do something. God came into him, walked into his life. Hey, I can work with you. I can do something with you. Began to reveal himself. The fear of God came on him. And the fear of God was stronger than the fear of man. See, it's interesting, as Gideon walked with God, fear dropped off more and more and more. It wasn't just there was always fear at that level. Because he'd walked with God and seen God, his trust and confidence in God got stronger and stronger. Not in himself, but in God. And fear of what could happen dropped away, dropped away, dropped away. God knows how to walk with you and with me in our lives, but he'll always say something to help us move further than we've been, so that our trust is in him is even greater, but the fear and the grip of other things that try and get fall away more and more. And what happens, the more you walk with God, the greater the fruitfulness, the greater of what God does through our lives, because there's less hindering that and there's more a greater trust in who he is. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to respond for a few minutes. Just pray, and then there's something else that we really need to just talk through, communicate together as a church. So let's just raise your hands for a moment. Just thank God. Chad, can you just come up, mate? And thank you, Jesus. First of all, you know, last week we talked about setting ourselves in our lives and setting ourselves in a place where God can use us. Today's about our response. I don't know, you know, all of us could probably, you know, I react in this or I react to that or whatever. And God is making us a responsive people, not a reactionary people. There's something God is doing. God's not walking in today and saying, you're a reaction person, you're a responsive one. He's saying, no, I'm walking with you But where there's still reactions, I want to deal with those, and I want to work in you. I want to reveal more of who I am in your life so that more and more you're responsive. There's more of a sensitivity, more of a revelation or a revealing of the fear of God, of who I am in your life, so that you don't meet things with a reaction. You don't meet things with a, I can't do this, I'm too small, I'm an idiot, I'm this and that and the other. Because Gideon realized, I'm still the same person, but I know who God is now. And because I know who God is, then loads of stuff can change. Loads of things can happen. So just raise your hands this morning. Say, Father, I thank you that you've chosen me. You've called me by name. Thank you that you've taken hold of my life. I thank you that you're in me. You're doing stuff in me. Father, I thank you that you have not made me a person of fear, but you've made me a person of faith. You've given me an overcoming spirit. You've given me that overcoming life. You've made me a person of faith, of optimism, who looks at things in a very positive way. That's your word. That's your spirit. That's the life that you've placed in me. So today I choose right now, I choose to step away from reactions. I choose to step away from reasoning. And I choose to step away from the things that try and hinder me and oppose me. And I'm not putting my trust in those. I'm not speaking about those things. But Father, instead I respond to your word and who you are in my life. I choose to take hold of what you say about me, what you've said to me and where I'm going. I choose to take hold of who you are in my life in a fresh way. Now, if in any way there are altars in your life, it could be altars of fear to do with the fear of man. Or the fear of circumstance, fear of outcome. It's like, God, I tear those down now in Jesus' name. You know, if there's fear of being sick, fear of becoming ill, fear of man, fear of what's going to happen this week because of a situation, we don't live according to those things. So just tear them down. I tear down that altar of fear right now that's been trying to grip me. Whether it's fear of man, whether it's fear of your husband or your wife, whether it's fear of becoming sick in some way, whether it's fear of something negative that's going to happen, whatever it might be, if it's fear of death or fear of flying or fear of something else that cripples you, that affects your life, now's the moment. Tear it down. In the name of Jesus, I take hold of that altar, that thing that has represented something in my life that's taken more prominence than the fear of God. So I tear down right now the fear of man or the fear of sickness. I'm not going to be governed by that in my thinking, in my emotions, or in my life. Just lift your hands, just worship for a moment. Just tell him how wonderful he is, how awesome he is. How wonderful he is. Thank you, Jesus. 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 The power of response is what is at work in your life. Not the power of reaction, but the power of response. The power of choice sets you in a position, a place for God to do something. The power of response then determines the outcome. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for a greater revelation of who you are. A greater revelation, understanding as we choose to walk with you. A greater revealing of who you are. As the great God. As the awesome one. As the mighty one. As the victorious one. As the Savior. As the healer. As the overcoming one. As our provider. As our Lord and Savior. Thank you for a greater revelation, a greater encounter with you in these days. Father, I thank you for this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night this week. That as we encounter you, Father, I thank you that the fear of God is going to be stronger on us as a people than anything else taking place amongst us. That, Father, I thank you as we come together these three evenings, as we just stay off social media for a few days, just concentrate the time and energy on who you are and what you want to do in us and through us. Father, I thank you for an encounter for every one of us with you this week. That as we encounter each other over a few days, we really encounter you. Father, as we encounter you in these next 3 days, there's going to be things shattered off people's lives. Because we're in your presence and because we're with you. You know, this week's about advancing. About advancing in the purposes of God. Personally and together. Our families are going to advance together this week. As a family, we're going to advance together this week. When Gideon offered a sacrifice, it was to reestablish the presence of God. And once he'd done that in Gideon's life, then he could go and do it in the town. And he went into the town, pulled down the false altars and idols, and then he rebuilt those things. We're using the stuff, but an altar to the Lord. Now, we don't do practical stuff like that where we build altars, because we are the temple of God. He lives in you. He lives in me. We are the house of, you know, you're a house of God, a temple of God. So he builds himself into your life. His kingdom grows within you. And these 3 days together are about God revealing more of himself. So we live according to the fear of the Lord and not to anything else. So that we go confidently, boldly into all the places God has taken us as a people to see God's kingdom being outworked more and more and more. Father, we praise your awesome name. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.